Well, we'll have a word of prayer here. And Sharon, you're real up here handy. Would you mind coming up and leading this in prayer, Brooke? This would be get us started.
If I get seated. Father, we come before you and with thankful hearts. We're thankful to be here, with privilege to be here, and let us be mindful of that privilege. And Lord, let us open our hearts and our minds and our spirits so that we can just accept your word and rejoice in your word and apply your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. We're on John 7:27. That's where we are, John 7:27. Kata Iwane. Say Kata Iwane. That means that Kata is a preposition. And what does Kata mean? According to. According to. All right. Kata means according to. And sometimes down. All right. Kata Estio. Kata Estio. What did I say? Brother Dick, what's Kata Estio mean?
Not a clue.
All right, Kata Estio. You just did this. You just did this. I saw Tammy over there. I did. And she had a plate. And what did you do to that food?
I ate it.
You ate it down. Kata Estio, you ate it down to the plate. Literally means to eat it down to the plate. That's what you do, isn't it? Greek's a lot more explanatory than... You eat it up in English, you know, but you don't really eat it up, you eat it down. Sometimes. Sometimes you eat it down to the plate. 7:27. We start out with a strong adversative conjunction. And that is abbreviated by SAC. That's what it means, strong adversative conjunction. And that means to stop and pay attention. But is what it means. All right. Allah, tuton, oidamen, pothan, esten, po de Christos, hotan, erkete, hudes, noske, pothan, esten. We have here a bold-faced lie. A bold-faced lie. It is a very much a lie. Okay? But this man we know from where he is. Okay? But the Christ, moreover, actually, see that word day there? That's a weak adversative conjunction. That's a little less abrupt. Weak adversative conjunction particle. Day is, day. But the Christ, when he may come, look at that. Why is it he may come? What tells us about that verb that he may come? He may come. That's third person singular. Present. What? Subjunctive and what voice? Middle voice. All right. When Christ comes, he's going to come there for himself. He's going to bring himself. Okay? We know that. But this is these are the enemies talking. All right, this is the enemy talking. So actually, this verse, you know, we try to... How many of you believe that every word and every verse in the Bible is inspired? Do you know that that's not really true? How about Job's friends? Were they inspired?
No.
But their words are there, aren't they? Okay, they're there. Now this... How many of you did that make you think when I said that? I believe that the Bible is inspired, tense, mode, and voice everywhere, and every case is inspired. But you can't... I have heard preachers that weren't educated preach from the book of Job and preach even what the devil said. You know, and try to make a sermon out of that. You know what we call a topical sermon. When you preach, make sure, when you teach a class, make sure that it's walking on all fours. Okay? When you do something. This right here is the words of the enemy. Who's speaking here? When you interpret the Bible, first of all, what do?
Context,
but what is the way, what is the order in which you interpret the Bible? Who's speaking? And who's he speaking to? And basically, what's the subject? In school, they teach you who, what, where, when, and why. Okay? But if you just go by the three things, who's speaking, who's he speaking to, and what is the subject? Who's speaking here? The doubters. The doubters are speaking. Okay? The doubters are speaking here. All right? So, but this man, we know from where he is. Where did Jesus come from? Where did he come from? Where?
Nazareth.
Where was he born?
Bethlehem.
Where did he go straight from Bethlehem to Nazareth?
Mitzrayim.
Where? He went to Mitzrayim. Say Mitzrayim. Now, what does Mitzrayim mean? The land of red mud and canal banks. That's Egypt. Okay. He went down into Egypt. It said in the Bible, it says he will call his son from Egypt. See. And all of this happened. All right. I'm not trying to confuse you. But I just want to make you think. Thinking is a good trick if you can do it. All right. But yes.
But even the words of the doubters, the fact that those specific words are in the book, that gives us...
It gives us understanding.
Yes.
It gives us understanding, but this is a bold-faced lie.
Yeah, it's not that they're telling the truth, but the inspiration is this is what the story was, and this is how people used it.
Yeah. This is the way the people that did not want to believe acted. These people had all the evidence in the world that everybody else had, but they did not want to believe. David was talking about atheists a while ago. He talked about atheists. You know why God made the creation? That's Braille for the atheist. Any fool ought to be able to see out the creation that God created it, but they doubt it because they want to doubt it. It is mathematically impossible for evolution to have taken place. That's not possible. It takes a great leap of faith to believe that. And the creation is Braille for the atheists and the agnostics. That's what it is. Let's go a little further now. Since we're thinking now, these rascals are lying. But this man we know from where he is, but the Christ, when he may come for himself, that's good. This... Grammatically, this is real good. There's nothing wrong with it. Okay? No one, he knows from where he is. Now, remember when the Magi... What does the Magi mean? What does the Magi mean, by the way? What? Not really.
Rulers.
Magistrate. That's where our word comes from, Magi. These were rulers. Okay? These were kings. When the kings came... And these people came from the east, it says, and probably where Daniel was. Many people believe that these people were from the school that, you know, Daniel never got to come back to Palestine. He was always stuck over there in Babylon. He died over there. But Daniel taught a lot of people while he was over there. He taught them the scriptures. He taught them about when Christ was going to come. And they knew the year that he was going to come. Not only there was a star in the sky, but more than the star being in the sky, it was the time. The calendar was right for him to come in. We know that one guy over there in England figured out there were 360 days in the biblical year. And they figured out the very day when Christ would walk into Jerusalem and do his triumphant entry. Exactly. Okay? We know all of that. They knew it too. When the Magi came to Herod looking for the king, they came to Jerusalem and they went, you know, that's where the king should be born, is in the palace, huh? Normally. Okay? They came there and said, where is the king of the world, you know, king of the universe. Where is the king of Israel? And what did Herod do? He called the scribes and the Levites, and he said, where's the Messiah going to be born? Did they know? Bethlehem. Well, just go over there in Bethlehem. You go look for him, and when you find him, tell him, come back and tell me, and I'll go worship him too. That wasn't what happened, and that's not what... Herod was a liar, you know. There's another bold-faced liar. Well, they didn't come back. God told them not to go back. And then he had all of those babies that were about 2 years old, because that's how old Jesus was, between two and whatever.
Two and under.
Yeah, two and under. And he had them all killed. And there was probably around 50 babies that were killed at that time in Bethlehem. They knew where he was going to be born. But God told them, get him down to Egypt. Told Joseph, get him down to Egypt. They knew where he was going to be born. Now let's go to verse number 28. Ekrazim. Who? Anto Eru. Didasko. Ho. Asus. Kai. Lagon. Kame. Hoidate. Kai. Hoidate. Hothen. Amy. Kai. Op. Imatu, Uk, Elelitha, Al, Esten, Alithinos, Ho, Pampsas, May, Hon, Hemes, Uk, Oidate. By the way, people, up there behind you is your second volume of the Gospel of John, if you want to get one of those. Right up behind you. Any of you that have come in, I don't know whether you got one of those or not, Brandy, but there's the next volume. We're getting there. He cried out, therefore, in the temple, teaching the Jesus. All right? He was speaking very loud. All right? He spoke loudly, Jesus said, saying, both me, you know, actually, it says you have known, second person singular, perfect indicative active. We've got to learn these things, Brother Dick. Second person singular, each one of them. Jesus is talking to people individually. Now, when Peter was preaching there in the second chapter of the book of Acts, he said, all of you repent, plural. All of you. But each one of you that has repented, allow yourselves to be baptized. Because you have received the remission of sins. Each one. So now Jesus is speaking to each person. Isn't this beautiful, Chris? Mm-hmm. It's beautiful when he sees. You can see exactly. So Jesus is telling them, each one of you rascals, there's a lot of them there. But he's speaking to each one of them's hearts now. This is one of another reasons why I believe that Jesus Christ, that God calls all men to salvation. These people weren't believing. But in the language, he's speaking to each one of them's heart anyway. Period. Whether they believed or not. You all. These are the ones. Who's speaking? Jesus. Who's he speaking to? The unbelievers. Alright? Ye have known, second person singular, perfect, indicative, active, and ye have known, alright, second person singular, perfect, indicative, active, from where I am, I come from, and from myself, not I have come. I have come. Look at that one. First person singular, second perfect indicative active. But he is true, the one having sent me, whom ye not have known. Look at that. Each one, every one of these people, you individual people, you individual unbelievers, you have refused to know him. Each one of you. He didn't say all of them. He did not call them a group. He called them individually and singularly. Each one of you have denied me. And you don't know the one that sent me either. Who was the one that sent him? All right, God the Father. He was sent. He was on a mission. A missionary. All right. 729 now, 729. Ego, Oida, Alton, Hote, Par, Altu, Amy, Kalkanos, May, Apestolane. I have known him. I have known him. That's perfect tense. What does perfect tense tell you? Perfect tense. It's happened. It's completed action. Okay? I have known him because from him, look at that now. From him. From beside him. Para. Okay? In John 1 and 1, it says, in beginning kept on being the Word. This is what it is from Greek. Okay? And the Word kept on being proston theon, toward God, an inseparable part of the Godhead. When Jesus came to this earth, he didn't cease being God. I want you to understand, he did not cease being God. A lot of people say, well, he laid his Godhead aside. He did not. He didn't use all the power he could have used and put up with this for a little while and those ungodly buzzards. But he was God. From him, oblative singular masculine. All right? Oblative singular masculine, third person pronoun. That's all two. That's oblative singular masculine. What? How many of you know the eight cases of Greek? Anybody know the eight cases? Nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, invocative. There's eight cases of noun in the noun in Greek. Nominative is a case of what? The subject. In English, what cases do we have? We get down into English now. There's an English teacher right over here. Brother Corey, how many cases do we have in English? We have the subject and the what? Huh? Okay, the subject and the object. That's what we have in English. In Greek, you have eight cases. Nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. That's real definite, isn't it? It just runs over and just outruns. People didn't get smarter. Did you know that? If it wasn't for libraries and documented knowledge, we wouldn't know anything today. You go back into Greek culture, you go back in that period of time, and people were pretty smart. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, Adam was real genius, I'm telling you. And he had a real good teacher, too, which is Jehovah God himself. What we have today is we have accumulated knowledge. How about if mankind had to learn everything all over again? Every generation. I have known him because from him, oblative, singular, masculine, third person pronoun, from him I am. I continue to be. He didn't cease being God when he came to the earth. All right? I am. In the Septuagint, in Exodus 3:14, Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And what did Jesus say? There. Jehovah. I am. I am. That's what we have here. I am. Ego eimi. I am, and that one, me, he has sent. Or he sent. That's punctiliation. When Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb, he was here. All the promises of the Old Testament from Genesis 3:15 on were fulfilled when Jesus became a real human being. Real human. Okay? 720 or 730. Exaton. Auton. Piase. Kai. Udes. Epibale. Ep. Auton. Tain, Kaira, Hote, Upo, Alelitho, Lithe, that is, He, Hora, Altu. And they kept on seeking, third person plural, all of them did. Now we go from individuals that were denying Christ to the whole bunch. They, who is they here? Who is they?
The Pharisees,
the scribes, the Sanhedrin court, the Levites, The whole bunch. The religious leaders of Israel were trying to destroy the Messiah. And they knew who the Messiah was. And they kept on seeking, third person plural, imperfect, indicative, active, therefore, that's a particle, page 295 in that little analytical Greek lexicon. Auton. Auton. Now, what kind of case in English would that be there, Brother Corey? Auton. What kind, in English, that would be the object, wouldn't it? They're going for him, like dogs after his throat. Okay? I got to tell you this little story. My son called me on the phone the other day, and he was laughing his head off. And he's got a little old miniature Doberman. And that little dog, his name is Lucky. He says because he's lucky to be alive. Anyway, picked him up out there in the oil patch when he was out working, repairing things in the oil field. Brought him home. And now he's got three dogs. Well, he had inadvertently left the gate open the other day, and the dogs all got out. And in the neighborhood, there was a great big mastiff pit bull cross-looking thing wandering around out there, a big dog. And the dog got after his dogs, and they were running. He was trying to get the front door open and get them all to go in there. And the dog, the pit bull, a mastiff cross, was coming at him. He was a big thing. You know, it was big. He ran up there, and Lucky was right behind, and he was right on Lucky's tail. Lucky decides when he gets up to the door that he's going to jump around. You know, little dogs don't really know they're little, do they? He jumped around and grabbed that pit bull by the throat and started shaking him. The dog is just shaking his tail like that and started wetting all over the ground. Scared him plumb to death. Laid him out. He started laughing so hard he said, oh, I wish I'd had a camera right there. I could have put that in the most funny video, you know. The dog took off, boy. He was afraid after that. Lucky got him. Lucky's this tall, you know. The other thing's this tall. They kept on seeking, therefore, to arrest him. No one. He laid hands upon him. Look at that. Auton there is the accusative. Laid hands upon him. No one laid hands upon him. Tain Kadra. Because not yet it had come about. Look at that pluperfect there. See that? That is a pluperfect. That is third person singular pluperfect indicative active. What's pluperfect now? What does pluperfect mean? We got perfect tense means what? Second perfect means a little bit more durative linear. We got first perfect, the perfect, it is completed action. And second perfect is a little more durative linear, perfect action, completed action. And now we've got pluperfect. What in the world is that? Pluperfect.
Is that the ninth blade? Did you say the ninth blade?
Oh, no, that's
Eric. Okay.
Okay.
Continuing results from the past.
That's right.
It's written down.
It's right down there. Brandy, would you come up here and make sure we want to read this from a grammar book. This is Davis's Greek Grammar. It's page 153. It's talking about pluperfect. Now, see, I wasn't lying to you about that. I want you to read that for us right there.
The pluperfect expresses continuance of the completed state in past time up to the prescribed limit in the past.
All right. Thank you very much.
Which word is that?
Pluperfect. All right.
Which word is that?
That one is elelithe. Elelithe. Third. All right. Down. Well, he's got a different text. Okay. Elelithe. Third person singular, pluperfect, indicative active. Not it had come about, and they kept on trying, didn't they? They had kept on. I mean, you have to give them an A-plus for effort. They were really trying to. They tried to kill him in Nazareth. Didn't they? They were going to shove him off a cliff in Nazareth. They had tried to catch him several other times. And he just walked out. Because it wasn't time yet. His ministry wasn't fulfilled. It had not come the hour of him, belonging to him. The hour that he was going to give his life on the cross of Calvary. 7:31 now. 7:31. Ek tu oklu. D, poloi, apistu, eschistuason, ace, auton, kai, elegon, ho, Christos, hoton, elthe, me, pleona, semia, poiese, hon, hutos, epoiesen. Don't let this Greek scare you to death. It looks so much like English you can read it in. Might near. All right. Look up there at that sign there and that sign back over there. You see that? What's it say up there? Exit. Actually, what that means is ekit, which means out of it. This is how you get out of here. Okay? And here we have the word that it came from right here, ek. That's it. Ek means out of. All right? Page 121 in Analytical Greek Lexicon. You can look it up on that page, Brother Dick, and just read all about it. Just get that lexicon and read it. Out of the crowd. Now, what case would this be? This crowd, Oklos, how many people here, first of all? How many people is in Oklos?
5,000.
5,000 plus. Between 5,000 and 10,000 people are here. That's a lot of people, okay? Now, out of the crowd, what case would that be in Greek? Nominative, genitive, ablative. That's the case of source. That's where it's coming from, origin. All right, out of. Out of the crowd, but out of the crowd, many. Now, Greek is a little different than English. The way you would read it, but, weak adversative conjunctive particle, but, out of the crowd, many, but many out of the crowd, they believed. Look at that. How long does it take you to get saved, Megan? Just like that, instantaneously. What does it say? What tense is that? What tense is that now? What tense is it believed in? First aorist. That's the knife blade. That's the razor's edge right there. First aorist. Third person plural. First aorist, indicative active. When you believe, is it maybe you're going to be saved or you're saved? Indicative means a statement of fact. All right? In him. In, through, and because of him. That's the word ace there. That's a really beautiful thing. That little Greek preposition ace there. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. That's the grammatical rule for it. When Brother Ken Blinn went back to Louisville, Kentucky, in the seminary back there, he went and started taking some Greek classes, and he said, they're teaching baby Greek, Brother Jim. I went up there, and they said, put ace up on the board. They were studying prepositions. They put ace. He said, extension and limitation of thought of verbal action. The teacher said, what? He said, that's what the grammatical rule for ace is. Oh, he said, we're not going to go that far. We're just playing with this a little bit. I'm going to tell you something. That is a very important Greek grammar rule. That's the one you're baptized for the remission of sins. It's ace. Because of the remission of sins. Ace can mean because of something behind you, up to something in front of you, or syntax through syntax, it means beyond that. When you believe, how far does this believing get you? Tammy, how far does that believing get you? All the way to heaven. That's what it's talking about there. Through him and beyond the blue. That's how far it is. In him, through him, and beyond him. And they kept on saying. Third person plural imperfect indicative active. Indicative mode means what? A statement of fact. All right? Imperfect tense. Imperfect tense means what? Continuous action. All right? And they kept on saying, the Christ. Who's this bunch? Huh? Who's this bunch? Who is this? Who is these? Now, who's speaking? Who's he speaking? What's the subject? Who's he speaking to? Who's this bunch? Chris, you know who this is? Okay, these are the believers. These are the believers now. And the believers now are defending Christ. And this is what they say. All right? And there's quite a few of them. And the Christ, when he may come, Elthe there. Now, Brother Dick, look down at that word Elthe. You see that? Epsilon, Lambda, Theta, and Eta. Look underneath that Eta. Does he see what that little old funny looking thing there is? It looks like a little tail hanging down, a root or something. That's what you call an Iota subscript. And when you see that Iota subscript, most of the time that means it's in the subjunctive mode. Okay? So here we have third person singular, second aorist, subjunctive active. So the subjunctive mode means what? Whenever he may come. All right? When the Christ he may come, not more signs he shall do, of which is this one he did. He can't do more signs and more wonders than what this man has done. So now these are the believers that are defending Christ, okay? 732. Ekuson. Hoi Pharisaioi. Tu oklu gegizontes. Zontos. Peri, auton, tauta, kai, apestalon. Hoi arcaries, kai, hoi pharisaioi. Hiperetos, hina, piasosin, autun. They heard the Pharisees, third person plural, first person indicative active. Boy, they were ready to hear. Have you ever seen anybody ready to jump on somebody's case? They got chips on both shoulders, you know. I mean, they're ready to fight at any moment. At the slightest drop of a hat. Ready to fight at any moment. Now these guys were ready to jump on him like stink on a bug, you know, like stink on a skunk. They heard the Pharisees of the crowd. These are the ones out of the crowd now. Of the crowd, out of the crowd. There's the oblative singular masculine here. Out of the crowd, between 5,000 and 10,000 people murmuring. All right? Grumbling. Genitive, singular, masculine, present participle, active, concerning him. These things. And they sent the one's chief priest. This is what you call a conspiracy. This isn't conspiracy theory. This is a conspiracy. Okay? There's no theory here. This is a conspiracy. Who murdered Jesus? These are the rats. Okay? And they sent the one's chief priest and the one's Pharisees and the sergeant of arms. Literally, this means to underrule the people that keep order. Now, the name Nicodemus. What does Nicodemus mean? What does Demas mean? Anybody remember what Demas means? Demas means people. It actually means a crowd. Crowd. How about Nico? Any of you ever had Nike shoes? Nike shoes? All right. What does Nike mean?
Power.
What?
Power.
To conquer. All right. Now, Nicodemus, his name means crowd buster. It means like he was a powerful man. He was one that demanded control and obedience. All right? These attendants, these sergeant of arms, in order that they might arrest him, piasosin, it comes from piazo, that they might capture him. How to capture him? How are we going to capture this man? All right, 7:33. A pain. Un hoesus, eti chronon mikron meth himon amy kai hipago pros ton tempsanta me. And he said, therefore, that Jesus, look at that word, he said, so this is completed action in the past. It tells us, now I want to explain something first of all. Aorist and second aorist, it doesn't tell you where it's completed. Only the syntax will tell you what it's completed. We know this is a completed action, don't we? So it's in second aorist, and it means it's a little more durative linear, but it's punctiliar in time. Okay? The word tense in Greek, the word tense in Greek means chronos. Chronos. That's the word for tense in Greek. And chronos means what? What do you think that means in English? Time. We had a word chronograph, we got a word chronology, all that. It has related to time. The Greek idea of tense has to do with time. Okay? Has to do with time. And he said, therefore, Jesus, not time, where am I? The Pharisees, that they might arrest him, verse number 33. And he said, therefore, to Jesus, yet time little with me, ye. I am, and I go. I go. Hypago. Hypago. Literally, he goes under. That's what he said. I'm going to go under. I'm going to have a little time with you, and then I'm going to go under. That's what he literally said. I'm going under. Hypo means what? When you've got hypoglycemia, what do you have? Hypoglycemia. Brother Roger, I know you know that one.
A medical emergency.
I went in the house today and I had hypoglycemia. It was down in the 70s. Low 70s. Hypo means under, below. Hyperglycemia means what? That's Greek words now.
It means
high blood sugars, too much sugar. Hypoglycemia. Hyperglycemia kills you very slowly. Hypoglycemia killed you point blank. Bam. You can die from that real fast, okay? A little while I'm going to be with you, a little time I'm going to be with you, micron, a little. And I go toward the one having sent me. He tells you exactly where he's going. Now, if you look in here, you will see all kinds of cross-references back in different parts of the book, of the Bible. And all of these go along with it. This one here goes to John 12, 35, 13, 33, 14, 19, 16, 16 through 19, 14, 12, and 28, and 20, and verse 17. And, of course, I didn't say that in all the rest of these, but you see those cross-references there. You go look, and it backs up everything that's in other places. This is what's going on. Okay? 7:34 now. We're moving right along tonight. We started out at 27. Now we're up to 34. Zay Kezete. May. Kai Uk. Ureisete. May. Kai. Hupo. Amy. Ego. Hemes. U. Dinaste. Hell thing. Ye shall seek me. Second person plural. Future indicative active. Ye shall seek me. And not. An adverb of negation there. That uk is an adverb of negation. And not ye shall find me. The word eureka. When I lived up in Fish Lake Valley, the south end of Fish Lake Valley, there was a little valley down there called Eureka Valley. It was one end to Eureka Valley. Okay? What does Eureka mean? I found it. All right, they made that, but that's a Greek word. Eureka. It comes from Eurisko. All right, and here we have the word. Eurestete. Ye shall find me, not ye shall find me. That's accusative singular there. First person pronoun, you shall not find me. That's the object, okay, that chi. And where I am, I continue to be. I, ye, not, ye are caused to be able to come. Look at that word, dineste. What word in English do we have from dineste? Dineste. Anybody remember what dineste? What word do we have in dineste? How many of you ever had... How many of you ever shoot a gun? Anybody ever shoot a gun? And every gun and every gunpowder, there is nitroglycerin. Did you know that? That's powerful stuff. And in dynamite, there is nitroglycerin. Dynamite that gets old, the nitroglycerin starts leaking out of it. You can see it kind of leaking out of it. That's nitroglycerin. That's what this stuff is. This is dynamite. Our word dynamite comes right out of this word. Dinaste. Not ye are caused to be able. Second person plural. Present. Indicative passive voice. Not ye are caused to be able to come. Elte. That comes from erikomai. Second aorist. Infinitive active. You can't do that. 735 now. 735. Apone. Un hoi eudeoi pros hiatus pu hutos mele parueste hote imes uk huresomen auton me eis tain dia diasporon ton elenon Mele, porueste, kai, didaskein, tus, helenos. The word Helen comes out of that word, helenos. You know what the Greeks call each other? Hellenic. That's the word for Greek. Our word Greek is an English word for Greek. That the word Greek actually is Helen. Heles, okay? That's where we get our word Helen from. Third person plural, second aorist, indicative active. They said, a poem. They said, therefore, the Jews toward themselves, one another. All right? That's what you call a reflexive pronominal adjective. They said toward themselves, accusative plural masculine, third person reflexive pronoun. Where? A little interrogative particle. A particle of place. Where? Where is this? Where is this one? He is about to go for himself. Where is he going to go? Present infinitive middle voice. Where is he going to go? Where is he to go? That we, not, we shall find him. Not to the dispersion of the Greeks. Now look at this. We have jealousy. 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 Now, they want to kill him. Now he's telling him he's going to leave. And so what is he going to do? Go preach to the Greeks? To the Gentiles? He's ours. We're not going to share him. We're going to kill him ourselves. We're not going to listen to him, but we want to kill him. Okay? To the diaspora. Right here, in this timeline dispensational chart, we have right here, what does it say? What's that say right there, Brother Dick?
Dispersion of Israel.
That's what this diaspora comes from. This word dispersion comes right out of diaspora. Israel was responsible to believe in the Christ. They missed the ball. They missed the boat. The sun rose and set and they didn't pay attention. Because they didn't want to. So God dispersed them. They said when Pontius Pilate announced that Jesus was innocent five times the number what in the Bible? Grace. Five times he was declared to be innocent. And he said, his blood, this man's blood is upon, not upon me. And he washed his hands. Frequently showing them that he was clean from this man's blood. And they said, what shall I do? And he said, let his blood be upon what? Us and our children. Has it? You know why the Jews are having so much trouble today? And are going to continue to have trouble? Because they still won't recognize the Messiah. The HaMashiach. They won't do it. All right, is he going on to the dispersion of the Greeks? He is about to go. And to teach the ones Greeks, they were kind of like a dog in a manger. How many of you ever lived on a farm? Huh? How many of you ever seen a dog in a manger and a horse manger? Now, how much hay does a dog eat? Huh? They don't eat hay. I have seen dogs get in the manger, and when the cow or the horse tries to eat, they'll bark at it and run it off. They're not going to eat the hay, but they don't want the horse or the cow to have it, or the goat, or whatever. It's the same story with these Jews. They're not about to accept Jesus Christ as a manger, but they sure don't want to share the Messiah with the world. He's the God who's going to make them kings. We don't stop this. We don't want the Greeks to accept Christ. The church, if you go back to the book of Genesis, let's go back to the book of Genesis real quick. Now, early in the book of Genesis, I'm in the wrong book. Book of Genesis. This is very beautiful here. In Genesis 9, these verses tell the whole history of the world, by the way. Now, Noah awoke, and he knew that his youngest son had done to him. Now, here's a story of incest and a terrible sexual sins is what it's about. And we know that God wants us to be sexually pure. We know that. And we know that that He hates homosexuality and all that kind of stuff. That's a fact. We have several issues in the Bible about that. Even in the book of Revelation, the last book there, it says that no dog shall go to heaven. That's homosexuals. I'm not talking about dogs. You know, there's a movie about all dogs go to heaven. Well, the book of Revelation says no dogs go to heaven. It's talking about homosexuals, male homosexual prostitutes, what it's talking about. What happened here, the rabbis say that Noah got drunk and that Ham went in and had sexual relationship with his mother, and they had a child, and that child's name was Canaan. Now, whether that's true or not, there was something that took place here that was on the sexual misconduct. Okay? But if that's true, that child was born cursed, wasn't he? We find out for hundreds of years. Now, the Southern Baptist Convention, Southern Baptist means what? What does that mean? South. South. We had a civil war in America between the North and the South. And the Civil War, what was over was states' rights in reality, but they had the issue of black slaves. And the Southern Baptists said, see, God cursed all black people and they're supposed to be slaves. But God didn't curse all black people. He cursed Canaan, which was a son of Ham. All of the dark races are from Ham. Okay? We find out the Hamites were the most brilliant people of all of Noah's sons, and they went out and they were the trailblazers and they established societies and great civilizations. They were the leaders in every invention that was ever invented in the world. They invented it, including music. Music can be good and music can be bad. Okay? And it really influences people, doesn't it? All right? The Hamites invented all of that stuff. The Hamites invented all of the tools of war. Hamites invented the flush toilet, too. Did you know that? And medicine. And pharmaceuticals. All of that. And he said, cursed be Canaan, the servant of servants. He's going to be a servant of servants. And he shall be to his brothers. Now, this man, Canaan, would go down into the land of Canaan or Canaan. And they would establish Palestine. Now, these people here are the ones that really built the land of Canaan. Now, this prophecy that Noah has given us is going to go for thousands of years. It's going to go for a long time, including the time we live in today. Canaan is going to be a servant's servant. So what he's going to do is he's going to go down, he's going to found, he's going to build farms, he's going to build ranches, he's going to build orchards, he's going to build vineyards, he's going to be in the land of Canaan. And then Noah, your sons, are going to go down into Egypt. Shemites, Shem's sons are going to go down into Egypt. Then I'm going to call them back in the land when the wickedness of Canaan is fulfilled. I'm going to call my son out of Egypt, and he's going to go down there, and he's going to take over that land, and he's going to inherit a land flowing with milk and honey because Canaan was his servant. He went down there. This wasn't his land because God said he's going to take it away from him. Right here he says that. Right here in the book of Genesis.
A lot of time elapses in that.
That's right. That's idle. This covers to today.
But just in a couple of words, there's a lot of years.
Yeah. That's a lot. God told Noah this was going to happen. He inspired Noah to say this. And he also said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. Shem means what? What does Shem mean?
Monument.
Name or monument, page 1028. Brown Driver and Briggs, okay? It means name or monument or pillar. By Shem, God would be known to the world. And through Shem would God be brought into the world. Let Canaan be his servant too. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Canaan will be his servant too. Who would come into this land?
Israel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then number 27. May God enlarge Japheth. What does Japheth mean? Young man, do you know what Japheth means? How about you, young lady? You remember what Japheth means? Brother Roger, Japheth.
To spread out.
Japheth was spread out. Ham's descendants would go out into the far reaches of the world. South America, North America, Australia, New Zealand. All of those places. They found out now, they realized that down in South America and everything, there were great cultures down there. They were giant civilizations. In America before 1492, about 1491, there's a book written about that called 1491. There's between 100 and 150 million Indians on the North and South American continent. Great advanced civilizations. The world's food that we have today was invented and genetically engineered by those Indians. Corn was invented by Indians. Beans, squash, tomatoes. All of these things, potatoes. Europe was starving to death when Columbus came over here. And he wasn't the first one to come here, but he was the first one to what we call the Columbian Exchange. He brought disease and left it to the Indians and took food back to Europe. Within 100 years, about 50 million of Indians were already dead. Within 100 years, between 50 to 70 million Indians had died from disease. Japheth means spread. Everywhere Ham went, Japheth followed behind him and took away his culture and changed his languages. The Hamites' languages were more confused than all the other people. The Hamites' language, there was more confusion in that than all the other people. He may enlarge Japheth. Now here is the next little thing that we go all the way from the Gospel of John to here. And let him dwell in the tents of Shem. What in the world does that mean? Let him dwell in the tents of Shem. This is Japheth now. This is when the church becomes a Gentile church. And Israel will reject the Messiah, and the Japhethites will take the reins, and it will become a Gentile church. And that's what we have today, is a Gentile church. To this very day. Now all that happened here. And let Canaan be his servant. All right. Isn't that really neat? That little piece of prophecy there that covers the whole history of the world. All right. Is he about to go and teach to the Greeks? 736, do you have any questions? Did that do you any good back then? Now, Canaanites, the Canaanites basically are no more. They took them over. And among the Canaanites were the Nephilim also, which were the giants. Chris, do you have a question? If anybody would, you'd have it or Brandy.
I know. I know a lot, but that was like,
any other questions? Brandy, you have a question? No.
Well, going back a little bit, Scripture foretold that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem.
Yes.
But because...
We're going to get into that just a little bit further. We're going to get into that just a little bit further. Because he's going to be born in the city of David, which it says just a few more verses from here. All right, he's going to be born in the city of David. And what is the city of David? Bethlehem. All right, he's going to be a descendant of David. Mary and Joseph were both descendants of David. Okay, they were both on the Davidic line, both of them. In the book of Matthew, we have Joseph's lineage, which Jesus inherits the kingdom, which Joseph should have been on the throne of Israel. And in the book of Luke, Luke looked at Christ as what? What was Luke? What did he do? What was his occupation? First of all, he was a scientist. That's what he was. He was a scientist. And secondarily, he was a doctor. He was a physicist. All right, a physicist. That's what he was. And along with being a physicist, he was a doctor. And so he looked at Jesus in his human attributes. Really. And when he tells you in the first part of the Gospel of Luke, he said, I am an eyewitness. And the word is autopsy. Autopsy. What does autopsy mean? It comes from autos. What is autos? That's a...
It means to take apart a body.
Autopsy.
Yeah.
It means to see for yourself. What you do when somebody dies, you take him apart and look at him and see for yourself what happened to him. That's autopsy. It comes from autos, which is, that's him, yourself, all right? And opto, ophthalmologist, which means autopsy. That means to see for yourself, okay? That's a Greek word, too. So you're getting all kinds of Greek out of things out of Greek. All medical terms come from Greek. All legal terms, nearly all legal terms, come from Latin because the Roman Catholic Church literally ruled the world legally for quite a while. The Roman Empire, the unholy Roman Empire, or the Holy Roman Empire, as they call it, is still in existence today. We see it cropping up in the book of Revelation. It never did go out of existence. It's still here. The Holy Roman Empire, as they call it. Any other question? Yes.
What do you mean by the Roman Empire is still here?
The Catholic Church. Yes. The Catholic Church is still here. That was Constantine the Great. Now, we know it faded away, but legally, I mean, in all reality, the Roman Empire is still with us, the Roman Catholic Church. Say the Roman Catholic Church. What does that mean? The Roman Catholic Church. Where is the center of the Roman Catholic Church? Not New York.
Italy.
Rome, Italy. All right. The Roman Catholic Church is still here today. All right.
It's in its own state, too, is it not?
Yes, it is. Its own state. That's right. Its own state. It rules itself. How many of you saw the public television expose on the Vatican? Anybody? The banking system over there is so corrupt. It's the most corrupt. It's mafia. It's mafia. The people, they said like 80% of the people living in the Vatican were homosexuals. And they've been that way only for 1,000 years. When did celibacy get started in the Catholic Church? What was the year? Anybody remember? 1123 A.D. That's when they began to have trouble. They borrowed celibacy from the pagan world, from the pagan priest, and so on and so forth. And that's when all this molesting and everything got started, was right then. And that's it. Those Catholic priests think they can lay their homosexuality and then go in and turn Jesus into a cup of wine and a wafer, and everything's all right at that moment.
We've been talking about that at home.
Yeah. Transubstantiation. All right. Anything else? Anything else before I turn you loose on the world? Brother Mike, you have a question?
Oh. It would take too long.
Okay.
When we discuss the Roman Catholic Church, we discuss an infrastructure
yes.
that has spread throughout the world. Most people cannot comprehend what we're actually saying. The way countries, the authority levels in countries, we belong to a bureaucracy
mm-hmm.
in this country, and the people can't comprehend what a bureaucracy is. When we talk about the Catholic Church, we talk about the infrastructure that they have with the legal system.
Yes.
However, when we discuss the Islamic Church, we talk about a tribal system, which is administering public needs and society,
mm-hmm.
which are is totally different than the structure that we have
yes.
that the Romans provided us. And having dealt in many countries that are tribal,
mm-hmm.
And we always hear about tribal lords or warlords from other countries, it's not taught in this country in our history classes and our...
No. America has probably got the poorest educational system in the world, even though I...
Right.
Really.
You're right.
Now, we got some teachers like Corey there really trying, I know. And we've got a lot of teachers in our class, everything. We've got people... You're a teacher, young lady. But we really need... When I went to school, it was pretty much brainwashing. If you got an education, you were lucky. You did it on your own. They put you, told you what you were going to believe, and that was it. Don't study. I mean, if you're going to study history, study it from everybody's point of view. The Catholic Church took off conquering the world in the name of Christ, that cross. That wasn't biblical. Never has been biblical. Islam is trying to conquer the world now because they're trying to do what the Catholic Church did in the Dark Ages. They got a good teacher. And they're doing that. And Catholicism brought the world into the Dark Ages. And now, Islam has brought Islam, the Muslims, into the Dark Ages. Again. The Dark Ages. Don't think. Do it. Don't think. Catholicism today, you believe this, or you go to hell. And we have the keys of heaven and hell. You believe like we say, or you don't go to heaven. That's it. You obey. You learn to obey. When they ring the bells and stuff in the Catholic Church, they start moving, boy. And they're taught that in their catechisms. Well, they have the First Communion. They have to believe in transubstantiation and all the doctrines, the dogmas, the seven stations of the cross and all of that, the seven sacraments. This is what they have to believe, not may believe, have to believe it. If you don't get there. That's it. And that's how they ruled the world. The Catholic Church still rules a large part of the world, don't they? Huh? This ain't where us Christians are. We're way down on the low on the totem pole, people. Islam rules the other half. And we're out there in minuscule little societies. As simple as that. In the infrastructures.
That's why our missionaries are so important. When this couple that was here
yeah.
2 weeks ago, the work that they do is just unbelievable.
Yeah. You, Karen Watson went over there, she got killed. I want you to understand about foreign missionaries in Islamic countries. They can't share the gospel. Did you know that? You can't name the name of Jesus. You can't pray in public. Nothing. All you get to go over there is give them money. This thing here, they want to give the Ukraine a bunch of money right now so Russia can get it. You know, they raise the prices so they're going to get the money we're going to give them. You know, isn't that ridiculous? But
To compliment what you said, I spent time in Nigeria
mm-hmm.
and time in Indonesia. Indonesia is almost all Muslims.
Yep.
When economic times get bad, they start killing the Christians.
Yep.
And the same way in Nigeria, they start killing the Christians.
Wherever you have Christians, there is no neutral Islam. The least neutral Islam there is the East Indian Islamics. But they aren't neutral either. What are they doing over there in India? Killing each other. Over here in America, any Arabic Islamic culture is militant. I have got little handouts. You know, they go and they're trying to make converts of you, aren't they, young lady? Yeah. They have really tried to make a convert out of me. They really worked on me, and I just worked right back. I haven't made any Islamic converts yet. But that is a system. The Catholic Church goal is to take over the world. They did it once. And the Islam's goal is that they learn from Catholicism is to take over the world. And they have a plan. They have a plan, and everything's according to oil. And you know what? Everything's according to God's eternal purpose. That's all I can say. I don't care what happens out there. I don't care how terrible it gets. It's by God's permissive will. That's how it is, by God's permissive will. All right, are you? Yes.
We have some friends who are in the United Arab Emirates
mm-hmm.
as missionaries, and there they try to work with the expatriates
mm-hmm.
because they bring, these rich countries bring in servants, if you will, from all over the world.
Yeah.
And one of their goals is to evangelize those who will then go back to their countries knowing Christ and take the gospel back to those countries.
And they will kill them.
Well,
I guarantee you. Brother Corey. Yeah.
I can't hear what you're saying.
In Christian killing Muslims. That's happened. But who are these Christians? It's Catholicism. That Catholicism and Islam has fought across that Mediterranean lake for 1,500 years killing each other. And then when you go over there, they look at you and they say, you're a Christian, you believe in four gods, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and Mary, because they think everybody's a Catholic. If you're a Christian, they think they're Catholic. Because there are only two religions in the world, Islam and Catholicism. Okay? They don't see us. We're a very minority. Real true Christianity is a minority. That little thing I did over there, by the way, these are, you can get these on cassette tape if you want them. The Study of Church History and the Theological Evolution of Christendom for the last 2,000 years. I've got some of these. They're $25 a set. If you can't afford them, you can have them. I made some sets. All right? Anyway, any other questions? We've gone over. Yes, Chris.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, so back when we were talking about Noah and his three sons, and I'm looking at the verse. Where do you get out of there that there was some sexual thing that happened in the tent? I mean, I know Noah was naked, but
Noah was naked.
Wouldn't you be naked in your tent? I mean, that's your house.
It is, but the term "naked" there means more than that. All the if you study the Talmud and the Mishnah and everything else with all this kind of stuff, they will say that there were sexual sins going on there, and that's why the heavy curse was, and that Canaan was a product of that sexual sin. That's why he's cursed.
Because Noah's wife's not mentioned in that.
No, but if all the term, if a child saw his mother naked. He saw his father naked. He saw his father's nakedness. Because his mother was his father. She was his. And when he saw his mother naked, then he saw his father's nakedness. And if you go into the law, if you had sex with your aunt, you uncovered your father's nakedness because it was his father's sister. Okay, you understand that? So that's the nakedness deal. the nakedness extended to his wife.
So this is talking really about his wife.
That probably, that's what the rabbis say, is about his wife. And it makes more sense than that. Why otherwise would God curse Canaan? Canaan would be cursed.
But in verse 23 it says, then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent.
That's right.
He did.
Noah did.
Yeah.
Yes. He was uncovered in his tent. He was with his wife uncovered. And then the boy comes in there. And then Ham comes in there. All right? And he uncovers. If you take the rabbi's view, he cohabited with his mother, and here comes his child. Mm-hmm. And that's all prophecy. Mm-hmm. This is why Canaan was cursed, according to them. Okay? All right. Anything else? There's some deep stuff here. All right. Brandy.
Canaan was cursed as the child because Noah had already blessed his own son.
Yeah. If Noah cursed Ham, he would have cursed himself, wouldn't he? Wouldn't he? If Noah cursed Ham, he would have cursed himself. He would have cursed all of his descendants. All of Ham's descendants were not cursed. Okay? They were not cursed. Canaan was cursed. Anything? Yes, Brandy.
So that also, I mean, it kind of alludes to a lapse of time because...
Oh, it's a prophecy.
...a pregnancy, a baby born, the baby would have had to live long enough to be named...
Before. That's right.
I mean, we're assuming there's a pretty good length of...
Well, who wrote the book of Genesis? Moses, by inspiration. He's recalling what happened. He's looking backwards. But he's looking backwards, but he's also telling prophecy because some of the things that would happen then will go far beyond Moses into our time. And even into eternity. In all reality. Yes?
I remember what I was going to ask. Okay, so... I totally believe what you're saying, but I'm wanting to ask you more about when Jesus, because I believe he was fully God and fully man.
Yeah.
I totally believe mm-hmm. that when he was on the earth.
Yeah.
So then, if he was fully God and he was fully man, but God cannot look upon sin, then how is Jesus able to be on this earth and be fully God with all these sinners?
Because of love, for God so loved the world. How does he put up with us?
So, well, I know
he's in us, and we're sinners, isn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't he? So, he's in us.
So wouldn't that be part of his, I don't want to say veiling, but like setting aside part of his Godhead? I mean, what?
He set aside his powers. He could have used them.
Right.
He did use them.
No, I totally
did. Did Jesus have power over sickness?
Yes.
Did he have power over death?
Right.
Did he have power over nature?
Yes.
But he used it in a limited way. He still had it, but he used it in a limited way. All right? But he put up with it because he loved. For God so loved the world. All right. Anything else before I turn you loose on the world, David?
Which son did you say that Noah is the father of the darker skin people?
Ham. Ham means dark. Japheth means spreading, light and spreading, and Shem means name, monument, or pillar. Okay? All right. Brother Corey, would you mind coming up here and dismissing us in prayer, brother? He's right in the finishing that sentence. And that is good. When I see you writing and doing things like that, it thrills me. It's thrilling.
Let's pray.
All right.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we are thankful for this opportunity that we have to come and learn your word. So many great things for us to take home and think about, meditate on, and apply in our lives so that we can become better servants of you. May we go out and be good examples to those in the world so that they may be interested in faith and perhaps convert or bring people closer to you by your will, of course. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, so we went from 7:27 to 7:35. Thank you for your prayers. I'm here only because of you.